reduce pressure and management of those insects. And Dr. Jeff Gore from Mississippi State is here this morning to give us some new strategies and review strategies for cotton insect pressure for next year.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. As I thought about the title that I was given for this presentation, I realized that I had a fairly tough task ahead of me in terms of looking ahead at some emerging insect issues. And really, as I thought about it, I think the insect issues that we're facing right now are what we're going to be facing for the next few years. So that's mainly what I'm going to focus on, is some of the insect problems that have emerged over the last few years. As I was thinking about this talk, I thought back to 20 years ago and what I would have talked about, and it would have been fairly easy. I would have talked about boll weevil and tobacco budworm and pretty much covered the entire cotton belt, except the western part where I would have talked about pink bollworm. If we look at it today, though, we can essentially break the cotton belt up into four regions: the west, the central, mid-south, and southeast. And even within those regions and within individual states, the insect pest complex has become so diverse that within individual states, we can break the insect pest and their severity up at different regions within a state. For instance, in Mississippi, we generally talk about the hills and the delta. In Louisiana, it's the delta, the Macon Ridge, and the Red River Valley. So it's a much more difficult task today to talk about insect pests across a wide area. So what's changed? Successful eradication of the boll weevil has essentially eliminated that insect as a pest across most areas of the cotton belt, with the exception of some areas of Texas, and a few problems still exist in Louisiana. And then the introduction of boll guard cotton in 1996 has essentially eliminated the tobacco budworm as a pest across the cotton belt. Another change that we've seen has been a shift from granular at-planting insecticides to the neonicotinoid seed treatments. And that's somewhat affecting some of our insect problems that we're dealing with today. And then, of course, we've heard a lot about the economic situation that we're facing right now, and that's resulted in a much larger diversity in crops that we grow in a lot of our cotton-growing areas. For instance, in Mississippi, we're growing a lot more corn and soybeans than we had ever grown in the past, and we've reduced our cotton acreage significantly. And that crop diversity is impacting the insect pests that we're dealing with in cotton. Currently, we're going through the change from the single gene BT cottons to the dual gene BT cottons, and that's likely to have some additional impacts on the insect problems that we deal with in cotton. One common issue that I thought about across the entire cotton belt is rising input costs right now. Fertilizer, fuel, and equipment prices are higher than they've ever been. And then when you add in the technology fees and seed treatments, we're essentially spending a lot more on cotton production than we ever have in the past. This is a slide I made up a few years ago for a talk talking about boll guard cotton seed treatments. Looking back at 1995, the cost to plant an acre of cotton ranged from about $12.75 an acre up to $24 an acre, depending on at planting insecticide and fungicide treatments. If you look in 2005, if you had planted a boll guard Roundup Ready with one of the Cadillac seed treatments such as Aris or Evicta, you'd have been spending about $52 an acre. And now in 2010, with a boll guard 2 or a 2-gene BT cotton with a Flex, Roundup Ready Flex herbicide trait, you're going to be spending about $85 or more an acre just to get the cotton in the ground. And that's impacting our insect management throughout the season, because we're front-loading so much of our cost at the beginning of the year that it becomes more and more difficult to make those insecticide applications later in the year. And also something else that I thought about is current situation that we're starting to face with weed resistance. That's likely going to increase our weed control costs at the beginning of the year, that again is going to impact some of the decisions later in the season in terms of insect management. Despite these higher at planting costs, this is just a slide I'm showing from Mississippi, but we're starting to see increased frequency of foliar applications again in Mississippi. As you can see in the earlier part of this graph from 1997 to 1987 to about 1995, we were essentially flat. It varied from year to year in terms of the amount we spent on foliar and insect control, but the trend was relatively flat. Once Bollgard cotton was introduced and boll weevil eradication, that overall trend line dropped down significantly. But as you can see, over the past 4 or 5 years, we're starting a significant upward trend in terms of our foliar insect cost in Mississippi, and it's approaching or at or above where we were before BT cotton and boll weevil eradication. So one of the questions that we're starting to get, and I don't want to talk too much about this because I know there's a panel after the break on this, but one of the questions that we're getting is what is the value of two-gene BT cottons? In Mississippi, we have a lot of growers that are spending well over $100 for foliar insect control, and you add that on to the technology fees, seed treatments, and things like that. You get a good idea of why our cotton acreage is decreasing in Mississippi. Another thing is that the varieties with one trait or no traits are becoming extremely limited, and the two-gene BT products definitely are not bulletproof. We're still having to make some applications, although much fewer than we did on Bollgard cotton. We're still having to make some applications for caterpillar pest on these two-gene cottons. So some questions that we get from growers is, what will happen if I plant a non-BT variety? Well, if we have a few growers planting small acreages of a non-BT variety, they're probably going to see some benefits of that. But if we start shifting back to all non-BT cotton, I can almost promise you that tobacco budworms will come back, and we're not going to want to be making foliar applications for resistant budworms as well as tarnished plant bugs, because the amount of money that we'd have to spend in that situation would be astronomical. And another thing that the growers want to know is resistance management worth it? And that's been one of the big selling points of the two-gene BT cottons. From my standpoint as a researcher with a public university, resistance management is worth it, but I can also understand the sentiment of growers who are struggling to survive year to year, and that difference that they're paying between Bollgard and Bollgard 2 may mean the difference of whether or not they're in business next year. So what is the two-gene cottons, the BT cottons, the biggest change that's made is we've shifted our primary insect pest from caterpillars and boll weevils to more sap-feeding, true bug-type insects. And the questions with the new pest complex is that the bugs have shifted from secondary status to primary status. A lot of our scouting methods and thresholds that we have historically used in cotton were based on scouting for worms and boll weevils, not for bugs. And so right now there's a general lack of confidence in our sampling procedures and our thresholds for bugs in cotton in a lot of areas of the cotton belt. One thing that's come out of this is we've begun developing a lot of regional projects to address some of these issues. A lot of our previous scouting methods and thresholds were developed over several decades, and we don't have time to do that now. So we've realized that regionalizing and working as a team in these different regions, we can accomplish some of the things that we need to help you as the growers in a much shorter amount of time. If we look in the western region, again, the sucking type insects, the bugs, are the primary pest. Lygus, the western tarnished plant bug, is the main insect pest in the western United States. There's also some problems with spider mites, which have historically been a problem in the western region, and white flies and pink bollworm. In the central region, again, bugs, stink bugs, a new insect that's beginning to get some attention is this Creontiades bug. It's a small green plant bug type insect in some of the regions of Texas, and then spider mites in some of the regions of the south, some regions of Texas are still going through pink bollworm eradication. In the southeast region, stink bug is the primary pest. It's has been for the last few years and will probably continue to be the most important insect pest in that region. One of the things that the Southeast group has done is started working towards developing some injury-based thresholds. This slide is just showing a trend in the importance of stink bugs in across the entire cotton belt. As you can see, in 1997, in those late 90s, stink bug ranked about 5th to 6th in terms of economic importance. And across the cotton belt by 2007, it ranked 3rd. But if we look in the southeast, it ranks number 1 or number 2 annually, flip-flops with bollworms in that area. So as I mentioned, a lot of the work that they're doing in the southeast is looking at developing good sampling procedures and thresholds, and they've developed some good injury-based sampling methods and thresholds for stink bugs. The Southeast group has done a very good job working together between North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama with help from Cotton Incorporated, and now they've developed a good dynamic threshold for stink bugs based on damage boll percentages. And what that dynamic threshold is the threshold essentially just changes throughout the season, and it will help to limit some of our applications rather than having a flat threshold of, say, 10% throughout the season. In the Mid-South, this is what I'm most familiar with, and probably going to spend the most time on this, is plant bugs is our number one pest, and they have been for the past 4 or 5 years. And it's really that insect is what's driving a lot of the cotton out of the Mississippi Delta. I was talking to a grower the other day, and he was adamant telling me that he was a cotton grower. His family grew cotton forever, and he was a cotton grower. So I asked him how much cotton he grew last year. He said, well, I didn't grow any cotton last year. I said, well, how much did you grow the year before that? He said, well, I didn't grow any the year before that. I said, well, if you're a cotton grower, why aren't you growing cotton? He said, I just can't afford to spray plant bugs in the Mississippi Delta. And that's really our number one pest. Some other things that we're dealing with are spider mites, aphids, and a little bit on the stink bugs. And we'd probably have a lot bigger stink bug problem if we weren't making so many applications for plant bugs. As I mentioned, the plant bug is our number one pest. In 2009 in Mississippi, we averaged about 6.5 applications for plant bugs, and that's just an average, with an average application of $11.50. So as you can see on this slide, we're spending about $75 an acre on average for foliar tarnished plant bug control. You add that in with a lot of the other costs for spider mites, the technology fees, and you can see why a lot of our growers are limiting their cotton. As a result, just like in the Southeast, we've had to go back and start evaluating a lot of our thresholds and sampling methods in the Mid-South for plant bugs, and we've had a good coordinated effort sponsored by Cotton Incorporated between Arkansas, Louisiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Missouri, and we've develop some what we think are some really good recommendations for managing plant bugs in terms of when to initiate those applications. Now, this is a slide I showed before in Mississippi with the increase in foliar insect control cost, and as you can see, we've gone up significantly, and a big part of that is tarnished plant bugs. And one of the biggest problems that we're dealing with plant bugs is they're becoming resistant to just about all of the insecticides that we use for their control. And then spider mites as well, because they're so expensive to control, the increased frequency of spider mite applications is adding to this. So where that increased control is coming from with the resistance to plant bugs is over the past 15 years or so, we've essentially doubled our application rates with Bidrin and tripled our application rates with acephate. So we're not only spraying more often, we're spraying higher rates that cost more. Another thing with the resistance is we're starting to rely more heavily on the neonicotinoids as well as tank mixes, which obviously are much more expensive than a single application of a mid-rate of a acephate or something like that. But we've shown that tank mixes do significantly improve control of tarnished plant bugs. One bad side effect that we've seen from this increased use of neonicotinoids for tarnished plant bug control is we're starting to see some level of tolerance in cotton aphids to the neonicotinoids. And that's what this slide showing, some populations that we collected from fields that had been treated with a neonicotinoid either one or two times, comparing that to a couple of fields that had not been sprayed. And as you can see, at both 48 and 72 hours, those four bars on the left are shown as populations that had been sprayed. You can see higher levels of tolerance in those populations compared to fields that had not been sprayed. And we're starting to get a lot of complaints from consultants across the Mid-South about less than adequate cotton aphid control with the neonics. Now, carbene has really helped us in these situations in terms of cotton aphids, but most of these applications aren't targeting cotton aphids. We're just noticing this as a consequence. They're targeting both aphids and tarnished plant bugs, and carbene has been a little erratic for us in the Mid-South in terms of plant bug control. As I mentioned, we're beginning to see an over-reliance on neonicotinoids. They're used as a seed treatment in almost every crop that we grow. Plus, we're making 2 to 3 foliar applications pre-flower for aphids and plant bugs. We're making additional applications at mid to late season for plant bugs. And then there's foliar labels and subsequent use in other crops where those insects are feeding as alternative hosts. And as I mentioned, carbene is helping us out with the aphids, but it's not really giving us what we need for plant bug control. So I just wanted to throw this in there. Dow AgroSciences, we've been looking at a new insecticide from them the last couple of years. It's sulfoxaflor. Research has shown good activity against both plant bugs and cotton aphids. And I think this is going to be a really good tool that kind of helps us get over the hump over the next several years. And if you want to know more details about it, you can see there's some talks Thursday morning from both Dow and university collaborators, and that's going to be in the Mardi Gras Ballroom, Salon D, over in the Marriott, and you'll be able to get some more details and see some actual data of how this compound works. Now, looking at common issues across most of the cotton belt, really the biggest one that you can think of is spider mites, and I borrowed this quote from Angus Catchett, who's our extension specialist, and this is something that he got from one of our growers. And these spider mites are the insecticide budget busters of cotton production in the Mid-South. And that's true, we're spraying all of our normal insects, but then we're having to make these additional applications for spider mites with products that only control spider mites and are much more expensive than our traditional insecticides. And this slide is just showing a trend in spider mite treatments in Mississippi. I know it looks like it kind of dips down over the last few 3 or 4 years, but you see that big increase up to 2006. And really, we're spraying the same percentage of acres now, but from 2006 to 2009, we've dropped about 1 million acres of cotton in Mississippi. So that percentage in 2009 is about the same as 2006. If you look at our cost of control across the Mid-South from 2004, we were averaging right around $1, $1.50 an acre. Skip ahead to 2007, now that's increased, averaged across the entire cotton acreage, we're averaging about $7, $8, $9 an acre for spider mite control. So that's just another economic component added in that we're losing. So to summarize, our key insect pests have become more diverse across the cotton belt. Key pests have shifted from worms to bugs, and we're having to reevaluate a lot of our thresholds and scouting procedures that were originally developed for different insect pests. And now, as the bugs have become primary pests, we're having to reevaluate some of those things. Rising input costs are impacting insect management. A lot of the money that we're spending at the beginning of the year is impacting a lot of our decisions to make foliar applications later in the year. Either we're delaying applications longer than we need to, or we're reducing rates below levels that we need to be spraying. And then insecticide resistance is a concern in many areas, and probably the biggest issue right now is that we need some new insecticide classes available to help us manage some of these insects. And with that, I'll end. I'd just like to thank the National Cotton Council for inviting me.